Welcome to Pass the Mic and part one of Queer Identities. In this episode, Parker, Aiden, and Ian talk about pronouns and pronauts.
Hi, my name is Parker and my pronouns are they and them.
My name is Aiden, I use he, him pronouns.
I'm Ian and I use he, him pronouns.
Speaking of pronouns, I think it's important in child and youth care that people are more cognizant of using pronouns, even if they're not trans, because experiences that I had in school was like, I wasn't out at that point, but even now when I'm in grad school and in other spaces and work, I'm always the only person giving my pronouns. Not at the job I'm at now, but at previous jobs and in different spaces within the field, it was like we'd be sitting at a meeting and everyone would introduce themselves and then I had to say my pronouns or else I was going to sit there and get misgendered the whole time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know for me, like, I just, even like when I was going to get misgendered, I was like, I don't want to be the only person mm-hmm. to like say my pronouns because I have anxiety and it makes me anxious to be the only person that like says my pronouns. And then because I feel like then other people just are, then like also I feel like it automatically outs me as trans, and like that is not always ideal in every situation. In child and youth care, it's usually pretty much okay. In like the real world, it's a little more iffy. Like, it's not always ideal.
And then I have a lot of privilege because I am so quote-unquote cis-passing.
Yeah.
But I always introduce my pronouns and I say, hi, I'm Ian. My pronouns are he and him. And then everyone else goes around the circle and they're like, just doesn't say anything.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing is I'm always worried that, like, I'm going to say my pronouns and then, like, no one else is going to say them. And then I'm just, like, awkwardly there, like, the only person that said my pronouns.
Yeah. Something that was really cool that happened once is I was taking a training. And I knew one of the people who was going to be there, and she wasn't leading the training, or like she had already done all of it. And I had approached her and said, hey, do you think that the people who are teaching the training, are they the kind of people who are going to ask us for pronouns? Because I, the night before, was really anxious about it, wondering, am I going to be the only one? Am I going to have to go up to these people who I don't know and say, hey, are you going to do the pronoun thing? And she actually did a huge ally move, and she went and talked to the people who were training and said, hey, can you please make sure to introduce pronouns
beginning?
Yeah. And she teaches at McEwen in some of the classes, and so that was really, really helpful to like know that there's an ally somewhere in there mm-hmm. where she heard what I had to say about it, and she understood that I was nervous about it. And then at the very beginning of this training, they were like, we really don't want to assume anybody's gender or how they identify, so we're going to also introduce pronouns. And everyone did pretty well, because sometimes you get into circles where you'll have like a cis man that's sitting there and everyone says their pronouns and everyone doesn't need to get to the cis man, and they like point to their crotch, you go, hi, my name is like Mark and I'm a him.
And
you just heard 15 other people say a pronoun properly, and you just went with I'm a him and pointed to your crotch, like what?
Or the people that are like, I think I'm a she, and you're like, like the people that clearly have never just said their pronouns before, not the people that are like, I don't know my gender identity, mm-hmm. but the people who've just never said their pronouns and are like,
they're uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My favorite is it's pretty obvious what I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
That just made, like, I had like a visceral reaction to that, because it's happened before.
Yeah.
They shuddered. It was great.
Yeah. It's stuff like that where, like, we need more. And I even posted about this on Instagram recently. Is like, mm-hmm. we need more straight people, more cis people that are saying their pronouns even when trans people aren't there. Is mm-hmm. that, like, if it becomes common practice to introduce yourself with your name and your pronoun, then it's, like, huge allyship to us so that we're not so left out. And, like, in the classroom, if professors are putting their pronouns in their email and putting it on the syllabus, immediately I jump to like, they're potentially a safer person for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and then you don't have that incident of, oh, now I have to out myself as trans because I'm not the only person saying my pronouns. Now 50 people are. And so it's so much safer for like people mm-hmm. to feel comfortable. And then ideally no one's getting misgendered.
Yeah.
It's normalizing it.
Yeah.
I came out after I was done CYC, but y'all are in CYC and are identifying as trans. Like, has there ever been a time where you're, like, in class and, like, misgendering has happened, or, like, there's been big issues with pronouns where you had someone help you or not? Like,
Well, it's funny, actually, because I was intending on going into the program and just, like, being stealth, so, like, not telling anyone, because I had spent my whole of, like, high school being, like, that trans kid, and that was great. Like, I loved it in high school, but I didn't want that to be, like, my whole life once I was in university. But then I got into the program, and I was like, well, there's two other trans people, which helped a lot, like, immensely. And also, I was like, not talking about being trans limits me so much in my ability to, like, connect with people and, like, relate to the learning and stuff. So I was like, oh, whatever. But I had this incident of a guest speaker a couple weeks ago who aggressively misgendered me in front of the entire class.
Oh.
Because she was talking about something and used me as, or, and off, I offered myself as an example. And then, yeah, she just, like, went, like, she, and someone in the back of class went, he. And then she got really flustered and confused and just referred to me as the individual, like, and, like, vaguely gestured to me. It was really awkward and uncomfortable. And then, like, she didn't, like, come up to me afterwards to, and I, like, I'm not, like, I don't, like, book it out of class. Like, I, like, usually stay and talk to people and, like, talk to the prof and stuff. So she had ample opportunity to, like, catch me and, like, be like, hey, I'm sorry, like, I think I maybe said the wrong word, or I'm sorry if I, like, missed, not obviously, like, I'm not expecting her to necessarily know the term of misgendered, but, like, you know, like, something along the lines of, like, I'm sorry that I did that.
And she realized that she messed up because she got so flustered.
Exactly, yeah. But, like, it was, yeah, it was really unfortunate. I was like, fuck, that sucks. Like, because it's been a long time, too, since I've been, like, so aggressively misgendered, because I had, like, my voice has dropped significantly since I started this program, but I was already 6 months on testosterone when I started. So my voice had already started dropping from, like, my super high-pitched, girly voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had been a while since I'd, like, been missed. And so that was six, that was, like, almost, like, a full year ago, right? Like, it was 6 months when I started the program, so it's been a year and a bit now. Anyways, my voice has dropped significantly, is my point, and it's been a while since I've been misgendered, and I was not expecting it, and it kind of threw me off for the whole day.
Mm.
That's my story.
Like, because I've been on T for a while now, like, even in CYC and before in social work, like, I could grow a beard, so it wasn't an issue. But I remember in high school when I first came out, there was this one guy who, if I annoyed him or if he just wanted to annoy me, his go-to method was to call me by my birth name and use she, her pronouns.
Ew.
And it hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that physical feeling? Like, it feels like you've been punched in the chest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, you know, bad enough on top of the binder.
Yeah. I think that's definitely one thing that, like, cis people don't really realize, is they think of misgendering as, like, oh, you know, someone accidentally called you by the wrong name. And, like, you're like, oh, man, that sucks. Whereas it's really, like, a literal punch in the gut. Like,
yeah, it's not the same as, like, as, like, going to a self-checkout and writing that your Honeycrisp apples are actually Macintosh apples to get them cheaper. Like, it's not, like, something really surface level where you just use the wrong name for someone.
It's
really hurtful.
Yeah, and I think lots of times I've heard stories of people being like, oh, well, like the people that, like, actually are, like, brave enough to correct people, because I never correct people when they misgender me.
Me either.
But the people that do, and then eventually, like, they just get tired of it, and people are like, oh, well, they stopped correcting us, so obviously they were just faking it in the first place. It's like, no, they just got so sick and tired of being punched every time that they just stopped saying, and they're still getting punched. It's just that now they're not getting doubly punched by you going, oh, no, that's not true. Like,
they don't have the energy.
Straight up don't have the energy to keep reminding you, because you're clearly not gonna, like, change. Like, that's what you've shown them if you don't, like, make the effort to change.
And that's why we need people in child and youth care, like our colleagues and our instructors, to be using their pronouns, introducing with pronouns, asking students on the first day of school when you get name tags to, like, put your pronoun on your name tag.
Yeah.
Because if we are in a space where we don't have the energy to correct other people, we need the other like people who it doesn't take them as much energy and there's no safety risk for them mm-hmm. to correct other people and to be, it's not hard to put your pronoun on the syllabus. And then that is just like a signal to the trans people that this instructor may be a safe person I can go to if it's becoming a problem in class. Yeah. If people are constantly misgendering or if there was something really gross that was said by someone, then I would mm-hmm. go to the professor with the pronouns on the syllabus over any other professor who didn't, because I know that they understand that that's important to mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, it's like, it's what we were saying about, it's like the secret handshake.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting your pronouns is like this, the secret handshake to trans people that you're like a good person. You at least have some understanding. You might not quite fully get every concept, but like, let's be real, I don't get every concept either.
No.
Like, but you at least, like, you're trying, you're working on it.
And no one's perfect, and I think it says a lot if an instructor is even willing at the beginning of the class, that has nothing to do with like gender, at the beginning of the class to be like, we're going to really respect people's pronouns in here, and if you mess up on anybody's pronoun, just correct it and move on. And mm-hmm. if a teacher is willing to stand up in front of a class where they have no safety risk, they have no like morality risk of who they are as a person, no one's going to look down on them by telling students and teaching everybody in the classroom how to correct their pronouns, mm-hmm. they're just being a huge ally to us. And then it avoids those times when other students who don't know yet and who aren't, like in child and youth care, when I was in classes, I had no idea even like what trans people were half the time. Like I came into this like later on in life, but if I would have had that education, mm-hmm. it doesn't take long. It takes like 3 minutes to do that education spiel. And
less,
then,
honestly.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a fast talker, like whip through real fast.
Yeah.
Like,
and then we're just safer automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like part of the job of allyship is helping to create that safe space.
Especially when you're in a position where like, it is a lot safer for a professor to stand up and say their pronouns and, you know, talk about like respecting people's pronouns and gender and stuff, because like, I don't know, especially for me, like because I'm physically smaller, like that's a huge safety risk. Even for someone like you, Ian, like that's still putting yourself at risk. Whereas like for a professor who's like got control of the class or like has authority over the class in some capacity, like that, like it's so much easier and so much like more likely to be listened to as well. I think
this shouldn't be revolutionary.
It really shouldn't.
Like I don't think that it should be like a big statement if an instructor decides to teach on that. It should just be, in my opinion, part of daily life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is how we start classes, this is how we begin, we talk about respect and pronouns and not being like racist, sexist, homophobic, any of the like
gross.
Yeah, any of those things. Yeah, don't be gross, and this is what to do if you are gross at any time to make that better.
Yeah.
And that kind of conversation I don't think should be revolutionary, where people are going, oh, they're so progressive, why are they doing it? Should just be part of how we start a class and start a relationship with our instructors and with our peers.
I think especially in a field like child and youth care, where
yeah.
like it's so relational, it's so like I had a thought and then I lost it. Ian?
I want to talk about what the correct way to respond to misgendering someone is, to birth naming or dead naming someone is, or when you make like any other kind of comment that is wrong, like sexist, homophobic, racist, and you maybe don't know it.
Okay, so I'd like to demonstrate. Okay, so this is my friend Aiden, and he is a really great friend, and they do a lot of really cool things in the community, and this is what their job is.
That is the correct way to fix someone's pronouns when you mess up.
Now here's
Parker, would you like to demonstrate the wrong and most common way to do it?
All right. Hi, this is my friend Aiden, and she, oh my gosh, I mean he, I mean they, what are you, oh my gosh, this is so hard for me, and this is such a big change, and I'm so sorry. Hi, I've actually known Aiden for so many years, and this is a really hard challenge for me. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me.
So this is a somewhat dramatized version of what I have lived with for too many years.
And honestly, it's only like minorly dramatized. Like,
yeah.
I have actually had that happen to me before. And it's all, like, what am I supposed to do to that? I'm like, oh, no, it's okay that you just like punched me in the gut. Like, it's mm-hmm. okay. Don't worry about it. But
makes us feel like we have to be like sorry
mm-hmm.
about the situation, but we just were living our lives.
Yeah.
We have to then comfort the person that misgendered us. And
yeah.
that's such an awkward position to be in and so uncomfortable.
And same too, like if you do misgender someone and they say, oh no, actually like I use he, him pronouns, it's better to be like, thank you for telling me. as opposed to being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because again, if you say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, then I have to go, no, 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 don't worry about it. It's okay. But like, it's really not okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you, that's not, just don't do that. But if you're saying, oh, thank you for letting me know, I'll remember for next time. And then you remember next time. Like, that's the key, too, is you have to remember next time.
And it's hard to remember. Like, I'm a trans person, and I still mess up people's pronouns sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I mess up, like, if I have a friend who's changed their name, I mess up their name. But then I've developed strategies to be like, okay, this is something I struggle with. So I'm going to make an intentional choice to make this easier on my friend. And so I'll, like, do things like go on their Facebook and click through all their photos. And as I'm looking at their photos, I'm saying their new name. And I'm using their new pronoun in my head. And I'm saying, like, sentences that I might say in the community. Mm-hmm. Like, I will practice introducing my friend and practice getting excited to see my friend while I'm looking at their photos. And it, like, connects my brain in a way that really helps to remember those things. So it's, and it doesn't take long to just put in a little bit of effort to make it easier on your trans friends.
I just want to say that's really wholesome and cute. Like, it gonna is. Practice being so excited about my friend. That is 100% wholesome and good. Thank you for that quality content.
You're welcome. That was when people misgender me the most, is when I changed my name and people would misgender me or dead name me when they were excited or when they mm-hmm. were in an emotional state where they were like not as – they weren't moving as slowly. So it just came out. Like, my therapist would only ever dead name me when she was really stoked about something that I was doing or saying. And so that's why I started practicing it.
Yeah.
And started practicing, like, getting the excitement that you see your friend and you introduce them to a new friend or whatever. It doesn't take long to just practice those things and try and put in an effort.
I would just, like, excessively use a person's new name. I would be like, this is my friend Parker. Parker is really awesome. I love Parker so much. Hey, Parker, what's up, Parker? I do that. That is me with my friends that have new names.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have your new name, it feels so cool because people are using your new name all the time.
And it helps you get used to it, because I know when I first changed my name and people would call my name, like, I would not respond. It would take me a minute to turn my head because I wasn't used to hearing it. So having people that just used it repetitively helped me get used to, like, turning my head to it and paying attention, and desensitized me to turning my head to names that sounded like my dead name.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would turn my head to names that were not my dead name, but just sounded vaguely like them, had, like, the same amount of syllables or something.
Yeah.
Like, which is awful, because my dead name only had two syllables. There's a lot of names
with that have two syllables.
Yeah. So I think it comes down to, like, the long story short is, in child and youth care, our instructors can do really simple things to make school easier for us. And those things are using their own pronouns, educating the other students about how to use pronouns, how to correct themselves, and making themselves known that they're allies to us by putting their pronouns in things like their email and their syllabus, and really just talking about how they identify and how they are going to respect how other people in their class identify.